Nun Dalet. So we got to the top of Nun Dalet, the four lines down. The Gemara has a series of discussions which might be familiar to you from the Maseches Moed Katan. The Gemara says, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Hai man de pashach dikla, person who cuts down some of the branches from a tree. So, adaita de dikla, if his intention is to make a kinyan on the tree, so then kana, and then a good kinyan on that tree. He bought the tree and he wants to make a ma'aseh kinyan, he cuts down the branches. But if it's a daita de chiyusa, if the intent is to cut down the branches so his animals could eat from them, then lo kana. So then there is not considered a kinyan on the tree. Right? Rashbam says you need two things. You need a ma'aseh kinyan on the karka or the dekel, and you also need the kavana as well. So if you don't have the kavana here, so it's not going to work. So Gemara wants to know, heichidami, so when, how do you know, how do you indicate, what makes it clear that you're doing it la'daita de karka versus la'daita de dikla rather, versus la'daita de chiyusa? Heichidami, shaka mehagisa mehagisa la'daita de dikla. If you're cutting on both sides, so that's considered your das is on the tree, you want it to be balanced out. But if you're cutting kula mechad gis, if you're cutting all from one side, all those branches, then adaita dechiusa, just trying to cut them down to give your animal steed, but that is no indication that you are making a kinyan on the actual dikla. Then the Gemara says, another case, Amar Shmuel again, Hai man de zache zichia, person who Rashbam explains, if your person's sweeping and clearing out all the different branches or little pieces of wood on the ground and bad weeds and grass, so if it's adaita da'ara, if he's trying to make a kinyan on the property, so kana. But if it's adaita da'tzivi, if it's das is to collect some firewood, so then lo kana. So the Gemara says, how do you know? I'm sorry, this is a case, yeah. So the Gemara says, look at Rashbam for a second. Rashbam says, adaita da'ara means you want it shetei nochel lachrosh. You want it to be smooth in order that you can have the plow run through and nothing get in the way of it. Or the option, again, was to collect it for tzive, which Rashbam says to collect it as firewood. So heichidami, how do you know when he's sweeping it for the charisha, for the karka, and to make a kinyan, or he's sweeping it together? So the Gemara says, shaka rav rivei v'zutre adaita da'ara. If he's sweeping and gathering together both the big pieces and the small pieces, so it's clear for the purpose of the property, you want the entire land to be smooth in order to allow the charisha to come through. Right, Rashbam explained, because if it's there's some branches, you know, if you're going with a lawnmower, for example, and there's some branches, it's going to break the lawnmower. So if you're going with this plow, it might break the plow. So you want everything big and small to be completely out of the picture. But if it's a case of shaka ravrivei vishavik zutre, if you're only taking the big pieces of wood, but you're leaving behind the small pieces of wood, that tells us that daita de tzive, you don't care about the land being smooth, you care about collecting big pieces of wood for the firewood, and the small piece of wood won't help you at all. So that's the indicator whether or not it's for adaita de ara, adaita de tzive. Another statement of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel Haiman de askil tikla. So what's askil tikla? So Rashi says, so this is the case rather, masir machshalos. There's some things that are in the way that might, you want the karka to be smoothed out so it shouldn't ruin the plow. So if it's adaita da'ara kana, if you have intent of cleaning everything out of the field, so then that's the case that's going to be adaita da'ara, you're going to make a kinyan of the ara. But if you're adaita de beidari, which Rashbam says is a goren ladush sham tfuah. Remember, one of the stages of the Siddur de Pasa of Melech HaShabbos is the dash. So what they would do is, they'd be zareya, they'd choresh, they'd be kotzer, and then after you cut it down, they'd dash. You have to step on the kernels, and it squeezes the kernels out of the shaft, or the shell. So you need to have a flat area for either people or for the animals to go around and dash and do a disha. So if you want to clear everything out in order to have a nice, smooth threshing field, so that's daita de beidari, then that's lo kana. That's not consider kinyan on the property. Heichidami, how do you know if the guy's smoothing it out to allow for a smooth charisha, or if he's smoothing it out to allow for a beidari? So shakel mulya vishadi benatza adaita da'ara. So what does this mean? So if the guy's taking, if there's a mound here and then there's a hole there, so the guy's transferring the mound from one area and schlepping it to the other area where there's a hole, so then that's clear, it's adaita da'ara. He wants the entire land to be smooth. But if he's mulya b'mulya and natsi b'natsi, adaita de beidari. If he's taking the mound and making the mound, just pressing it down, and he has the ditch and he's filling the ditch in, but he's not switching both. You know, I've got a mound here, so I could either take the whole mound and pick it up and transfer. That's not what he's doing. He's taking the mound and just kind of pushing it down so it flattens a little bit. There's still going to be some bump because he's not really moving it. He's just pushing it down, spreading it. And the same thing if there's a ditch. He's not filling the ditch up with that mound. He's taking the ditch and taking the side of the ground and putting the side of it into it. So it's less of a dip, but still not going to be complete. So in the second case, where he's not so keen on it being so smooth, so he doesn't really care about the Harisha, he cares about it being a Beidari, somewhat of a level playing field here to do the Disha, but he's not entirely concerned of the being exactly level. So that's how you know whether or not he's doing a Daita De'ara or a Daita De'Beidari. Okay, there is a Machlokis here, Rashbam and Tosfos. So Rashbam says that the idea it was to flatten it was for Harisha or was it for the Beidari. So Tosfos writes in the bottom here, Mulya b'mulya v'chule, Hiksha harav Rav Yosef Dorlins, Mashmat tzitzarech karka shavel Harisha yosem miladisha. The way Rashbam presents it is, for Harisha you need a flatter ground than you would for a Beidari, for Disha. V'anim sadi, but we know, Diladisha tzarech harbe yosef shavel v'chalak. Says Tosfos, we know where we live in Orleans, here in Europe, that we need a flatter property, a flatter ground to accomplish Disha than you do need for Harisha. V'mashe pirish nami b'kuntres, that which Rashbam explains further, dimosa daita de gorin kavua kani, if you want to do this for the purpose of establishing a kinin of a threshing field, e aver adaita de gorin kavua o eino kavua. So I'm not sure what that question there is, but he says, hayab mefarish, Debeidari dehacha hainu lahamid sham behemos, he argues. It's not referring to a threshing field, because Tosfos contends that a threshing field requires more level than Harisha. So Beidari here is a different definition. It's an area to have your animals stay on. And that doesn't require so much of a level field. That's the Chiddush of Tosfos, but again, he's taking the word Beidari, which means all over Shas, it does mean threshing field. In this particular example, he's forced into saying it means an area where you're letting the animals hang around and graze the field, perhaps. Okay. Gemara now says, Ahu, Amar Shmuel, one more Amar Shmuel, Haiman de Pasach Maya Ba'ara, person who opens up an area for water to enter into your property, if it's a daita da'ara kani, if the purpose is to allow the water to water the property, so that's going to be a good kinin. But if it's a daita de'kavre, if the intent is to catch fish as the pond goes through your area and then have some fish get stuck in the land, so then lo kani, so that's not going to be a kinin on the property because there's no mice on the property. Your goal is to get the fish. So Heichidami, how do you know whether or not his purpose, his point, his goal is for the ara, or if the goal is for the fish? Pasach tre bavi, if there are two openings, chad mail v'chad mafik, one for the water to go in, and one for the water to go out, that's a daita de kavri. He just wants the water to pass through, and then while the water is leaving, there's some of the fish when the water leaves, the fish are going to stay behind, they're going to get kind of stuck. So that's clear, the purpose is to catch the fish. But if he has only chad bava adaita dara, he just has one area for the water to come in, but not let it go out anywhere, so the water is going to stay and therefore help water the field, that's clear the purpose is adaita dara. Okay, so now the Gemara has a maisa here, hahu isisa, there's a certain woman, da'achle dikla b'tafshicha, that she was eating the fruit. Tafshicha was that first case of Shmuel where you take off the branches. So one woman is taking off the branches from the dekel tree for tleisar shanim, for 13 years. Asa hu, some guy comes along, a guy learned in Maseches Baba Basra. Rafik tusei parta, he comes along, he digs a little bit of the, puts a shovel in, picks a little bit out of the ground, and he claims that this is his, he made a kinin on the karka. So asa lakami de Levi, they went to Levi, or the man went to Levi, v'amri lei, and she says to him, kami de mar ukva, ukme biyode, this is the guy. The guy who dug the field, even though you've been eating there for 13 years, it's the guy who dug the ground here. So also, katzavcha kame, so the woman started to scream, I've been eating on this property for 13 years, this is my dekel tree. So Amar La, so he says to her, my abdilcha, that which you did, delo achzikas kidemichazki idshe, too tough for you, because you didn't do a proper chazaka. Cutting off the one side of the tree, that's not considered a chazaka, like we saw above in Shmuel. And you lose out, and the guy who knew better, who dug the ditch, so he's the one who gets the kinnin. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav Hatzar Tzura B'nichse Ager Kana. So a guy who draws some type of picture on the property of a nichsa ger, which is a hefker, he's kana. So look what Rashbam says here. Rashbam, if you look seven lines up from the bottom here, hatzar tsura, tsura chaya al olf. You build a, rather you paint a picture of an animal or a bird. B'nichsa ger, b'kosle abayis. You start to paint a nice tapestry on the wall, and you get make a kinnin. Aval siud v'kir damer leil. We saw yesterday that when you put some plaster on the property on the wall, ama keneged pesach. You need a ama in the dimensions. Lav haynu tsuras birya. That's not referring to when you're painting a picture of an animal. Ela tsiurim ba'alma. You're just ma'isa tzatzuim beprachim. You're making designed flowers, whatever designs, but you're not making really any images. So aval tsuras chaya olf chashuva v'day be'echad v'lo ba'ina an ama v'lo keneged pesach. So it depends what you're painting. You're painting an animal, a lion, so just making a lion, which might be only a tefach big, that's sufficient to create a kinnin on nichsa ger. If you're painting the whole area, even with its nice designs, for it to be considered significant, you have to have it to be an ama, agabi ama. That's what the Gemara tells us. So the Gemara says, how do you know this? De rav lo kani l'ginasa de be'rav ela b'tsurasa. The way Rav was kone at this property, look at the Rashbam on the bottom here, the five lines up, he says, kone l'ginasa de be'rav, there was a gina hasmuch l'beis medrasho. Outside the beis medrash of Rav, there was a nice garden. The ha'isasho ger, it was owned by a ger, convert, umeis, and that ger died and didn't leave any relatives behind. The kone Rav bekach shasa b'tsura l'hachzik ba. When the ger died, he went over and made a image on the wall, he painted it, and it was a picture of a chai of some sort. And we see from here, that's how you're kona. You don't have to paint an ama by ama. If you're making a picture of an animal, so then that's kona right away. So they bring a raya from this Rashbam here. There's a discussion in the poskim. There's an issur deraisa. We know you can't plant a tree. The pasuk tells us you can't plant any trees. Eitel hamizbech, the pasuk tells us. So the Kivega writes, midirabanan, it's us also to plant trees in a base knesset or a base medrash, or even next side. Eitel ha base knesset, eitel the base medrash. You can't plant trees. So they bring a raya from here that it's not the case, because since Rav had this garden right outside the Beis Medrash, and the stomach, there were trees in this garden that he was planting, so one would be allowed to have trees next to a shul and plant trees next to a shul. That's what they try to prove from here. But then they say you can't bring a proof because a gina might be referring to a vegetable garden. Who says they're referring to trees here? So there is no raya here, but it does come up such a discussion based on this garden outside the Beis Medrash of Rav. Okay, the Gemara now says in the bottom here, last four lines of the Amud, Itmar. Sada ha-misuyemes b'mitzareha. If there's a field that has its borders lined out, so Amarav, Huna, Amarav, Kevan shehichish ba machish echad kanakula. You whack the land, you hit it a little bit, you're kona the entire property. So says the Rashbam, that means v'dafka b'nichse ger, this is referring to a ger, a property becomes hefker, you go ahead and you hit a part of the land, you do some type of digging, you get the entire property. Aval, says the Rashbam, machar v'kibel zuzay, if however you, I'm sorry, this is going on the next line of Shmuel. Fine, so Rav says you make one mark on the property, you get the entire property. But Shmuel argues in Shmuel Amar Lo Kana Ela Makom Mechusha Bevad. Only that area which you hit, that line, that area, that Amma by Amma, that's what you get. So for a ger, Nichsa ger, you have to go to each part of the property and hit every spot in order to get it according to Shmuel. And Rashbam says this is only true when it comes to Nichsa ger. But when it comes to Machar V'Kibel Zuzah, if you buy a property, Afil Eser Sadas Be'Eser Midinos, like we spoke of before, if I'm buying 10 different properties that might be dispersed throughout the world, Hichsik Ba'achas Men Kana Kulam. If I buy one, I get all of them because money was transferred over. There's a Das Echeres Machne. But when it comes to Nichsa Ger, Shmuel says you have to go up and down the line of the Nichsa Ger, while Rav argues and says making one mark, one dig on the property should be enough. Yeah, the door, he said, if you're building a mansion, right. So then you need the gemar, the completion, the door.
The other guy came along and just built.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a different case, though, yeah.
And the guy who put the door got the castle.
Yeah, the door guy.
That's a different din. That's because for the house, you need some level of security. If the house isn't protected, so then you don't care. It doesn't show that you are the owner of it.
All right, so here it's just the land.
Yeah.
But we did have also the case where there were two sadas and there was a maitzer between them, and right. You did a kinyan in one of them, your machzik one of them. That's where Tosus had asked the kasha, you would resist it. So you have to say that being machzik in that case was talking about machzik every single location in that single field. It wasn't just
right. According to Shmuel, yes. According right. to Shmuel, that's what you have to say, right?
Right.
It's machlok is Rav and Shmuel. Right. We paskin like does it say we paskin like? We paskin like Rav here. So so fine. The Gemara says, but if it's a case she'ena misuyemes, if it's not, the borders are not so clear, so then ad kama. So in which case even Rav would agree that you have to do more of a maisa on the entire property, not one's not significant. So what happens? So Amar Rav Papa kida ad kama, Amar Rav Papa kida azil taira dishuri v'hadar. So there's a machlok is what this means exactly. But look at the, we'll go for the Rashbam's pshat here. Rashbam writes that the kida'azil, this is two narrow lines down, kida'azil taira de turei v'hadar. Kishe yachrosh tzemed bakar, when the cattle are going to pull the plow, shir achas mikotze gvul hasadev ad katzayu, from one end of the field to the other end of the field. V'hadar, and they go back around, v'chazarasa yase od shir achas, now they go down the next line, across the other way, d'haynu shtei shir, it's a total of two lines, they went across the entire field, from the east to west, so according to this understanding of the Rashbam, you need to do just one, or really two rows across east and west, and then the entire property is yours. Shmuel holds you always have to do every single area. I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure how far. Does it mean like every inch, every foot? But Shmuel, you have to do everything on the property. But Shmuel Rav says, no, in this case of when it's Einam CMS, it's enough to do two full rows and everything else will come along with it. That Tosis, let's take a look at Tosis, he argues. I'm not going to go through Tosis right now. So Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Nichsei Oved Kochavim Harehein Kimidbar. So the property of a guy is a din of a midbar, which is Hefker. What does this mean? Kol ha-machzik behem zacha behem. Anyone who's machzik on such a property will be kone. So what exactly is the case here? So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? So it doesn't mean any property of an Oved Kochavim. It's referring to when a guy sells to Yid, so then in that interim, we'll see in just a second, it's considered hefker. What's going on here? Oved Kochavim michimatu zuze liyade istalik le but Yisrael lakani ademate shara liyade. So when a guy is selling his property, all he cares about is the money. And in the world of Oved Kochavim, Rashi points out, based on Gemara's and Bacharos and Bav Metzia, that Maos, Konos, for the guy. So when the guy receives the money, so now he's already relinquished his rights over. But from the perspective of the Yisrael, the Lokeach, he doesn't acquire until he receives a shtar. So if you transfer the money to the guy first, and you don't get your document yet, that next few hours, few days, is considered hefker, it's kamidbar, and some other yid could come along and be machzik on that property, because it's like a midbar. So therefore, Hilkach, says the Gemara, harehen kimidbar v'chol machzik behen zacha behem. So be very careful when you're dealing with a non-Jew like this, make sure that the document is on hand so there is no moment for someone else to grab the property away while you've given the money, while you're still waiting for the document. So look at the Rashbam here. Rashbam says here, if you look at 10 narrow lines up, harehen kimidbar, and the property is a midbar, which means hefker, some other yid, a third party comes along. It's as if this is property that was left over by a ger. Now, v'yesh mefarshim, there are those who explain, says the Rashbam, demos mia yachzer lokeach harishon. This third party who takes the land needs to pay money back to the real rightful owner who just lost it. But Vili ain't a nirklal. I don't think this way, Rashbam. The first lokeach, he lost his money, lost his property. It's a terrible business deal on his part. But the imkain, my harehin kimidbar. If that third party Yisrael gets it and he needs to pay for it, that's not called midbar. Hefker means you get it for free. So the fact that the Gemara is calling this midbar indicates that third party, mamish, gets it without having to pay. And I, as the first person who paid the goy for the property, I'm losing those $1 million. That third party gets to keep that property. Now this first lokeach could take the akum to court. I don't know what his tiny is going to be though, but he could take him to court and try to extract the money from the goy. I guess because maybe the goy was slow in producing the documents, maybe, so the goy is somewhat liable for this. But seemingly from his perspective, he did everything that he needed. He took the money and then it's all yours. But if he can't beat him out in a bezdin, this lokeach rishon loses out. Mihu says the Rashbam, Nira Be'enai, it appears to me, Dehai Sheni Rasha Mikre. This Sheni, this third party guy, he's a Rasha for doing this. He's taking advantage of a vulnerable Yid. And Dechevan Diyav Lo Keach Rishon Zuze Lo Gar Mi'ani HaMahapech B'Charara. It's no different if Ani is going through the garbage and he's about to take a piece of bread and some other guy dives in and the Ani put all the effort in and some other guy just scavengers and takes it out. That guy's called a Rasha. Some other guy takes it. Not la the mikra rasha ha'uacher. So even though mikra din choshe mishpat, he did everything he was allowed to do. It was mamish hefker, but midei midos, this guy is considered a rasha.
Can the bayo do a kinyan sudar or something like that? Can he do a kinyan sudar?
Does it work with the
guy?
I don't remember. I don't know. Not sure.
That's interesting. The woodwork kind of easy.
Do a kinyan sudar and then wait until you get the
Here.
Hold up.
Let's see, is this addressed by anyone? I don't see it.
Right, you may not take it out of the rishus of the guy. This can be said there. Could be the chalik and it doesn't work.
Go ahead, that's what he's asking.
Yeah, but this is as long, if the guy gives him a star.
And he didn't give him the star yet.
So I understand, but normally the transaction is that you have a star. It's just a loophole on a very specific case where the guy just advanced the money, which is very strange to give money ahead to an employee without a star.
And there was an insider who knew that.
Right, so it's a who gives a guy money without getting a star?
Not a good businessman.
No.
He'll learn his lesson pretty quickly.
They're like, trust me, don't worry, I'll give it to you tomorrow, don't worry,
Maybe the third guy arranged the whole thing. Right. Told the guy, wait, you don't have to give him the star right away. You can go home.
The lawyer.
You can give it later, and the lawyer's
house. Harry's been around the block, Harry's known. So the Mishnah Melech deals with an interesting Shiloh. So now in this interim, so when the Yisrael pays the money to the guy for the property and doesn't have it yet, is he allowed to be chozer because he never acquired that property? So Mishnah Melech says, since he never owned the property, he could retract in the whole deal and he could seemingly request the money back. But others say, no, since mitzad the guy, the kinin's final, then you have no right to retract, even though you don't have it yet, ownership. It's still, so that's a discussion that the Achorim discuss.
You would think that if the third party can take possession of it, then the guy has no more.
Right. So he doesn't have rights, but at the same time, you don't have rights either. So this is limbo stage where, so maybe you could be chozer from your perspective, but it doesn't go from your perspective, it goes from his perspective.
What if the guy converts between the time that he gets
it? Fine. So Gemara says, Amar Leah Bailer of Yosef, Mi Amar Shmuel Hachi, the Shmuel really say this, that it's considered a kemidbar in this interim. The Ha Amar Shmuel, doesn't Shmuel have this famous line in Gemara Nadarm as well, and a few other places in Shas? Dina de Malchusa Dina, and there's a halacha, we have to follow Dina de Malchusa Dina, whatever the government tells us. Umalka Amar, the king says, the government says, Lo Likne Ara Ella Bigrasa, it only works Bishtar. So the guy doesn't relinquish his right to it, even though he received the money, it's not until he actually gives his shtar over, and that's a dina de malchus adina. So, amar le anilo yadana, ela uvda. So Rav Yosef says, I don't know the halacha, it's a good kasha, but I only know a maisa that's about, I'm about to tell you. So before we go to this maisa, there's a very interesting, important Rashbam here, the definition of what a dina de malchus adina is. And the Rashbam writes, if you go towards the second half of the medium wide lines down, he says, Vaha Amar Shmuel Dina de Malchus Adina, Kol Masim Varnunios, all the different taxes, Uminhago Shal Mishpate Melachim of the government, Sheregil Melhanig B'Malchusam Dinu. That becomes the din. Whatever rules they set forth, that's the halacha. Shekol Bnei Amalchus Mikablim Aleim Mirtzonim. Very important. This Rashbam they point to as the source of a democratic government of some sort, where the people accepted the Malchus upon themselves. They elected it. Mirtzonam, from the Ratzon, Chokei HaMelech U'Mishpatav, whatever the president and legislation decide, that is accepted upon. This is a democracy of some sort, not exactly, but of some sort. That's where they point to the Rashbam. And that's where his power comes from, a Hilchach Din Gamahor. It's a real Din. That's the Rashbam's understanding of Dina de Malchusa Dina. Others say, however, the Ran writes that no, because the king could always kick you out of the land. He could take you and just send you out. It's not because you chose him and because you have any say. It's because the king could always say, you, out of here. And because he has that, that's where the Malchus, the koach comes from, the ability of the Malchus. And then there's a few other pshatim, but the other pshat that quote from Rashi, which is interesting, it flows from one of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach is dinim, to set up a court system. So the fact that they're following the mitzvahs and halachas of the Torah, even though they could figure out what the details are, the Torah gives the Malchus the power, and it's really Dina de Malchus, it sounds like a Din deraisa almost, and them following the halachas of Dinim, so therefore you must listen to whatever they establish. So those are three basic understandings that are found in the Rishonim of how Dina de Malchus Dina works. Either way, yeah?
Did the Ran say that it's probably because the king threw you out?
Yeah, the Ran says that, right.
That's good. A lot of people say, well, I didn't accept the Malchus over here, so Dina Malchus doesn't accept, I'm not a Bible, I don't want
yeah,
to.
But even for the Ashbam, if you have a certain, if there's a voting, if you lose a vote, doesn't mean,
Or I didn't even vote,
No, still, but you're part of the Tzibur, but you see from the Ashbam, there's a certain Natiya towards the Ratzon.
You still get thrown out anyhow.
Yeah, for sure. Right. According to the Rashbam, if it's a monarchy where you didn't pick the king, so then it seems like maybe it would not have the din of Dina de Malchuta Dina. But not so clear. So the...
The Dina de Malchuta Dina is only here where they have a shtar. All the other cases... with the chazakos, we don't go by din and malchuta.
So if there is an established rule how things work, then that would override.
Overrides everything we say.
A lot of choshe mishpat halachas depend on din and the malchuta dina. But if there's no known din, so then it follows halacha.
I also think it's because he's doing a deal with the goy.
You're following his the
right. Yes, and that's the question. All these chazakos that we're saying with the pruning and the.
Right, if the previous owner was also a Jew,
but if Dina de Malchuta Dina, you can take it to get a lawyer and say, I'm sorry, I'll invoke whatever it is.
No, but I think between two Jews, you have to go first to Beis Din.
Correct. But a lot of times when you're doing deals, even with two Jews, you're doing the deals according to the rules and regulations of the government, so that seems to be understood in Umdina. So each case is different, but fine. Okay. The Gemara now says, Amar, so again, the Dina de Malchuta Dina, and the Malka says that the only way Kiddin works is through a shtar. So just because I paid the money to the goy, the transaction isn't final until there is a deed that's produced. So Amar Lei, so again, the Rav Yosef says, Anali Adana Ela Uvda. I don't know, I just know this Maisa. Rashbam has something interesting here. He says, there's no way Rav Yosef didn't know this halacha of Shmuel, of Dina de Malchuta Dina. He just says, I want to respond to you with a story as opposed to a straight answer. A very interesting pshat of the Rashbam. But he says, what's the Uvda? What's the Maisa? Have Bedura Derusa. There's an area called Dura Derusa. Rashbam says it could be a village of Roim, of shepherds, B'Yisrael. Dezavin Ara Me'ovdei Kochavim. So a Jew bought a property from a guy. V'Asi Yisrael Achrina. Now this third-party Jew comes along. Rafik Beipurt, that comes along and starts digging. Asla Kamidir of Yehuda. And the third party says, Okme B'Yadei Sheni. He said, this is mine. And Rav Yehuda says, it's yours. You did the Chafira, you did the Charisha. You take it. It was a midbar in that interim stage. So that's the Raya. So we see from here that the Lach is, we do Paskin, that it doesn't go based on Dina D'Malchus Adina. You don't need the Shtar to finalize it. It depends on the Alachas of, it was considered a midbar. So it says, Abai back to Rav Yosef. You can't bring a Raya from that case. Amalei Dura Derausa Kamris? You're talking about that village of the Roim? That's a whole different story. Hasam Bagi Mitamri Havu. Those shepherds, those villagers, they hide the properties, the swamps, the fields. Dinu Gufai Loha Yahav Taska, which is tax, the Malka. They don't pay taxes. So they're evading taxes, they're evading the government. Umalka Amar, the king says, Man Diyav Taska Leichel Ara, whoever pays tax, he gets the property. So this third-party Jew was able to come in and take it because the Jew and the non-Jew who are not paying taxes, they're not following the government. But the third Jew says, listen, I'm going to pay the taxes. So that gave him the right to come in and take the property in the interim. But if you're dealing with a regular situation where both parties, the Goy and the Yid, are both paying taxes, so then the sale is only final when it comes to with the shtar.
It seems that the fact that the first guy was not paying taxes, he wasn't even there was like no transaction because he wasn't even his.
And he has it wasn't even his in the first place. You're saying?
Right. I think that's what it's saying.
Says, why
he didn't have the ability to sell.
He
might have the buy list, but if Rashbam's not the ability to sell it, could be he doesn't have it at all.
Right.
But
since right,
okay, fine. Now the Gemara says, Rav Huna, Zavin Ara Me'ovid Kochavim, he bought a property from a guy, And also Yisrael Acher Rafik Bay Porta, another Yid came along, he dug a ditch. Also the Kamid Rav Nachman Okman Biyadei, and again they gave it to that third party Yisrael because the shahr wasn't handed over just yet. So he says, my daitcha. So what was your thinking for this? Why does this third party, the second Yid, get it? Because the Amar Shmuel, Nichsei Ovid Kochavim Harein Kamidbar. Because during that interim of where the money is transferred and there is no document as of yet, so it's a midbar, and the halacha is that chol hamachzik bahem zocha. So this yid, the second yid, was zocha in this hefka property. So if you hold like Shmuel regarding that halacha, so why not hold like la'avid li mar ki dech the Shmuel? What about the other din of Shmuel that we started off the daf with? Damar Shmuel lo kana ela makum shemichu shebavar. So that guy just dug a little ditch. So maybe that ditch should be his, but the rest of the property is still Hefker, and I could come along and start banking every other area and get it. So he holds, because Amar Le, Bahai Ana Kishmai Sincerely. Because I hold regarding that discussion of you get just that area, or you get the whole area, that Machlok is Rav and Shmuel, I hold like the Sugya, Sincerely, the Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Kevin Shenichesh Bab Mechush Echad, Kanakula. So he splits up. Just because you hold like Shmuel and one halacha doesn't mean you hold like Shmuel and all the other halachas. So regarding how much chazak you have to make on the property, we passing like Rav one mark is enough for the entire area. But when it comes to the halachas of the transfer of money, it's not. It is final that it is considered a midbar while the goy takes the money before he produces a shtar as of yet. And anybody call kadam zalchem. Fine. So we'll stop here. We have a wonderful Shabbos. Next week.